Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much. Hasn't God blessed us with a great, marvelous heart of worship in this praise team? It's a great job, great job. I would like to call the elders of the church forward. These guys are going to come and get the offering plates. But elders of the church, if you'll come up, we have a duty upon us that we need to do. And Pastor John and Miss Faye, if y'all would come up as well. I know y'all are saying, what's going on? What's going on? You're about to find out. You're about to find out. Pastor John and Miss Faye have a wonderful opportunity and a privilege to be able to go and assist another church. Listen, I said assist. Don't be doing that. Don't be doing that. Say, yeah, yay, yay. I am grateful. I am grateful that God has built the heart of the people here that has a heart for the kingdom of God. Not just for here, but for the kingdom. Amen. His brother pastors a church at Lawndale. In Shelby, forgive me. And he is suffering with some physical things, and he has an illness. And he has asked his brother and Pastor John and Miss Faye to be able to come and assist them for about 3 months, May, June, and July. And but he's assisting them. And we really want to be able to help the kingdom of God in any way that we can. And they have the privilege to go and serve and minister to that body while the pastor either mends or decides to retire or whatever. But Pastor John will still be with us during the week, Monday through Wednesday and all, and he'll be here, both of them will be here on Sunday. Well, just John, not both. Just Pastor John will be here on Sunday morning, briefly, just to be able to make sure everything is running okay, because he'll still fulfill his duties and responsibilities as pastor, as associate pastor. But we welcome the opportunity to be able to bless the kingdom of God with one of our own. Amen? And and we do pray for his brother to be healed and to be made whole, and for whatever decision that God has for the church there, that will be known and it will be followed. Amen. But before we do anything else, we really want to pray for him, lay hands on him, and send them out to be able to accomplish everything that God has for them. So I did ask him, I said, are you happy here? Now he was very, very, very calm. He said, I'm very happy here. Very happy here. And we love him. We do. And he loves us. But still at the same time, we all want to see God do in us what we need to do so we can do for him what we need to do. Amen. So, if you don't mind, pray with us as we pray for them, lay hands on them and pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we do thank you for this couple. We thank you for this man and woman of God. We thank you for their heart to be able to hear you and to be able to answer your call. So we ask your blessings to be upon them. We ask you, Father, that you would guide them in the richness of your wisdom and your faithfulness. Let their heart be guided every time he stands before the people to be able to bring them forth as a strong congregation that has the pounding heart to follow you and to do what you tell them to do. We ask your blessings upon the church, upon the pastor. We ask you for his healing. And we ask you, God, that you would keep Pastor John and Miss Faye safe. Yes. Give them wisdom. Give them the fullest anointing possible for them. And I ask you, Lord, that their mouth would flow with the true words of the gospel. Watch over them and protect them as we send them out. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You got anything? Amen.
As we're praying, I just had this impression that this time is not only for you, but to, as Pastor said, assist that congregation. You guys are going to be bringing fresh wind, and uplifting to a congregation that has been assisting their pastor, but maybe wearying, and you're bringing fresh wind, fresh word, fresh time.
Amen. Give him praise.
On. I ask your forgiveness. It was my fault. Now, whatever I said before, ditto. Okay. No, I did ask him. I don't mind asking the hard questions. I really don't. It's not to stir things up or to make people upset or angry, but I really like to talk about what's the reality of this thing. And I asked him, I said, have you had thoughts about taking that church? And he said, to be honest with you, I have thought about it, but I am extremely happy here. You know, but really. So we're going to keep close ties on them. But at the same time, we really want what God wants, whatever that is. And that means for anybody, it really is. But we do appreciate you guys. And thank you for being willing to go and help another body. A great representative of the kingdom of God. It really is. And we just really, I'm excited about what is going to be done while they're there. And what's going to be done here as well. I want to say, I noticed that Elder Terry Hageman did not come down. He is back with us. He was in the hospital just last week and had a heart pacemaker put into his heart. And Terry, it's great to have you back. Great to have you back. Great to have you back. Amen. I'm going to talk to you some today about our responsibility to the generations. Do we have one? We sure do. And that responsibility comes from God. That mandate comes from God, that we are to pass on our faith to the next generation, to this generation and the next generation, and then the ones to come. If we're here, we are to pass on our faith. It's very important that we do that. And I want to thank God for this house and what he's doing in people's lives. We have over 100 children from nursery to youth. We have over 100 of them. And guess what? We've got more on the way. Amen. Amen. And I think the two that I know of in the church, they're both boys. You know, so they've had girls. Both of these families have had girls, but now they get to have boys. Now you get really, really, really tested as parents. No, but I am grateful to God that he is saying, I am granting you the presence of more generations, and we have the responsibility to step up and to be able to take the responsibility, take the challenge that he gives us, and to be able to do the work that he wants us to do. At the crossing of the Jordan, Joseph was leading them, so he was a predecessor of Moses. And when they got when Moses died, and when they got to this place called the Jordan, the bank was overflowing, the water was overflowing, and God heaped up, the Bible said it heaped up the waters, and the riverbed was dry. But anyway, I don't want to spend a lot of time there, but he did that, and he instructed him to go and tell a man from each tribe to go into the dry riverbed and pick up a stone. And bring a stone and make a memorial for the sons of Israel. The word sons means men and women. It wasn't just for the boys. It was for the men and the women. He said it's a memorial. And how many of you know, you all know that this is a stone, right? Well, trust me, it is a stone. The question is, do you know why I have it? Does anyone in here know why I have this stone? I'm going to slay the giant. I don't know that he slung one that big. God don't need a big one. You know, but I'll tell you why I have it. Several years ago, I did a message on the memorial stones that we are to lay for our children. And I gave everybody here a stone. Some of you, maybe all of you, but I know some of you still have them. And why is it important? Let's look at Joshua 4:21. It says, when your children ask their fathers in the time to come, saying, what are these stones? What is that? What is that? What's that for? What is that? Then you shall inform your children, saying, Israel crossed this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed. Just as the Lord God had done the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed. Verse 24 is very interesting. This says that so that all the peoples of the earth, how many peoples of the earth? So that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty. And so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. So they did the stone center. What's that for? And I've been in some of your houses and I've seen the stones. Still have them. When I've asked some of you, what's that for? I knew what it was there for, but they were able to follow through and tell me. But that's what it was used for, as a memorial. See, every generation stands on the edge of spiritual success with God are spiritual erosion. They're on the edge. Every generation. Everyone. And we need to understand that there, this generation, along all of us, we're overwhelmed with the digital information that comes from culture. Overwhelmed with it. We have an abundance of that, but we have a lack in the formation of spiritual foundation. We lack that in the midst of all of the overwhelming knowledge that we have. But see, God is bringing us to attention. He's bringing us an alert that we need to step up. We need to be able to do what he wants us to do concerning the generations. You know, it's almost like this. It's like, I'll pray for them. That is absolutely wonderful. Absolutely wonderful, isn't it? That you would pray for these young generation. But here's the question. Will you change for them? Will you change for them? Praying for them is great, but will you change for them? As the leaders of a home, as the parents. See, we're not called to, as people of God, we're not called to withdraw from a world of darkness and a world of evil. We're not called to withdraw from that. Are we? Three of you. Are we called to withdraw from this world? Absolutely not. He said, you're in this world, but you're not what? Of the world. So we're not called to withdraw from them. You know, when we withdraw from things that are going on and are living concerning the world, it causes us to drift. Everybody say the word drift. To drift, to float along. We're not called to be floaters. We're not called to be drifters. We're called to be a people of salt, light of the world. We're called to be able to reach into the darkness with our living, not just our words, but our living. To be able to reach in for anyone that would be willing for us to grab hold of and say, come on and go with me. We had two this morning to lift their hand. I really felt two this morning that says, I want that. I'm ready for that. I surrender. So that should be everybody that isn't. Everybody that hasn't received Christ, has not come into the fold of God. That should be everybody's heart cry to, I want to be a child of God. And for the rest of us, we can herald our voice and make the declaration that I am a child of God. I am a child of the living God. And in the process of that, we learn along the way to be discipled, to be trained, to be transformed, that we'll know the will of God, and we'll be able to prove the will of God to ourselves and prove the will of God to others. That's over in Romans chapter 12. See, there's a bit of urgency in me today concerning the generations that we have. And let me say this. I am grateful for these 100 or plus, I am so grateful for our children. Are you? Yes. I am so grateful. They are just absolutely wonderful. They really are. Well, you know, I said, they got a lot of problems. Who doesn't? Who are you talking about? They. You know, we all have problems. But we have to be a people that is going to look beyond the problem and give the answer. See, these kids are searching. They're searching for reality of walking with Christ. They've seen religion at work. They've seen what a religious people, a religious person would be able to do just out of religion and not out of relationship. I'm doing it out of duty, but I'm not doing it out of desire. So they're aware of that. They see that. And you know what? They don't want it. They don't want that. They want the reality of true faith in God. Someone who is not just saying you have faith with God, but your works prove it. You don't have faith to work. You work because you have faith. Your works can never get you faith, but your faith can always produce the works if you're willing to follow it. So we have to understand that we have this tendency to drift, and that is called complacency. And we can be complacent. And the word complacent means to be pleased with self-satisfaction with one's merits or situation without an awareness of potential danger. That's complacency. A selfish satisfaction of what we've accomplished or who we are, what we've done. To be self-satisfied. Notice I didn't say God-satisfied. Self-satisfied with the situation without being aware of the potential danger. That's complacency. That's the drifting. That's what God is addressing for us today. That is the drifting. That is the thing that we need to understand, that if we fail to pass on our faith to this generation and the next generation, if we fail to do that, it will be picked up by confusion and lies. That's the truth. If we fail to pass on our faith, that means we have to not say it. We have to what? Demonstrate. We have to model. We have to live out what he's put in. We have to come to the place of saying, yes, Lord. I'll make the hard decision. I'll do the hard thing. That's what you want me to do. That's what I will do. Well, your family's going to get mad at you. Mine did. They're not mad at me now. Mine did. Some friends did. And I know some of yours did. See, that's the call of God. God said he wants us to love him with what? All of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength, all of our might. Everything about us, he wants us to love him. And love our neighbor as we love ourselves. But in the midst of all that, there's bumps in the road. There's not stones, but there's things in the road that hinders us. And if we fail to pass it on to the next generation by living it out, not just by being the person who talks about religion, you have to hear me. They know about religion. They've seen it. They've heard it. They've seen it. They want to see the reality of someone truly walking in the faith of God. That no matter who's looking, no matter who isn't looking, they're going to follow God. How many of you, since you've been a Christian, you have had to do some hard things that you knew God was telling you to go do, but it cost you? How many of you can say, that's me, I've done that? Some hard things. See, a lot of presentation to generations is, look, all you got to do is come to Jesus and all your problems are going to go away. Mine didn't. Did yours? But see, that isn't true. He'll walk with you in the problems. He'll show you the way to get out of your problems. He'll give you the strength to become something that you are not at this time living during your problems. This generation needs us. This generation and the coming generation is calling for us. We should have the deep conviction and personal conviction that this is my job. This is my responsibility. This is my place. This is what I need to do. This is what I'm called to do. This is what I'm going to do. Now, why all this stuff about the generations? Well, let me tell you a few things about the generation. There's a recent survey reveals that 51% of Americans say we have a biblical worldview. That means biblical worldview is you look at whatever the situation is, but everything that you look at is going to be filtered by the Word of God and going to be filtered by God himself, that you acknowledge him. The Bible is 100% accurate, infallible. Jesus is the true and only Savior. So the biblical worldview, it has the lens that everything I walk in, everything I see, it's going to be filtered through God's Word. Not what the world says about it. The culture has a different agenda. The culture has a different language. That's the reason I said if we fail to pass on our faith to the children, it will be picked up by the worldly culture that has confusion and lies, and it will distort our youth. But anyway, let's look at this thing about a worldview. It says 51% says Americans say I have a biblical worldview, but don't believe what the Bible teaches. Did you hear me? Yeah, I've got a worldview. I got a biblical worldview. Yeah, I got a biblical. But all right, no, do you believe this? No, I don't believe that. Well, you believe what God said? I don't believe that. It's just a talk that is being talked, but not a life that's being lived. God is calling this place. God is calling this people to live out what he has put in us and to bring forth the promise and the greatness of the generations that is in us, that we have, and the ones that are forthcoming. So this thing about having a biblical worldview is extremely important. Baby boomers were from 46 to 64, 19. We had 67 million, 10% or 11% of people had a biblical worldview. 10%. That's my generation. Generation X was next. They had 65 million, 7%. One generation later, 15 years later, 7% dropped from 11 to 7. You see the decline? Okay, let's look at the next one. Millennials. Millennials are 73 million. 6%, their age is from 45 to 30. They're at 6%. Another decline. Another decrease. Gen Z. From 29 4% of Gen Z, 4% of Gen Z has a biblical worldview. 11, 7, 6, 4. You see the decline? Yet we're one generation away from nobody having a worldview, a biblical worldview. We're one generation away from them not caring anything about God. And it happened in the Bible as well. And I know I've got to hurry because there's a little bit more that I want to talk about. But we have to understand that every generation stands on the edge of spiritual godly increase or spiritual erosion. We have a responsibility to step up, not to beat them over the head, not to jam it down their throat, but to live out the goodness of God. And I'm gonna say that. I don't want to make anybody mad, but I do want to say this. I'm telling you that spiritual, this erosion that you see is not caused by classrooms and colleges. It doesn't start there. It is there. It doesn't start there. It starts in the living room. Spiritual growth in God starts in the living room. Spiritual erosion can start in the living room. You hear that? See, we have to step up. We have to make the things right in our own lives. We say, you really need to go to this youth conference, please. You need to go to this youth conference so you can get on fire for God. And in their minds they're saying, you need to go to a marriage counselor. Oh, you need to go to a marriage retreat. Oh, don't dare say that. But see, the reality, they see the reality of things. They hear what you're saying, and they hear the push for you, but you and I are not willing to do the hard things and take the stand that we need to take that will lead them to where they need to go. Have you ever been corrected by a child before? In your walk with God or in your walk, have you ever been corrected by one of your children? Raise your hand real tall. There you go. You know what? Why is that? God speaks through children as well. And he wants us to understand that we need to raise them up so that all of this stuff that is coming against them will not infiltrate them to confusion and lies. But the truth will stand. We have to look at these things and proclaim the word of God and proclaim not just his word, but who he is and what he's done for us. Now, I want you to look at Joshua 24. Verse 1, he said, Joshua gathered all the tribes, all the tribes of Israel to Shechem. Now, I'm going to stop there for a moment. I looked at that word, and I said, first I had to look to see how to pronounce it in my southern dialect, Shechem. What does that mean? He gathered all the people at Shechem, to everybody, all the elders, all the people. He gathered them at Shechem. What does that mean? It means shoulder. It means to be, get ready to shoulder the responsibility that he's about to give. Jesus said what? Take my. He didn't say I'm going to give you my yoke. He said, take my yoke upon you, on your shoulders, around your neck. So he said, Shechem. He goes on and he says, he called the elders together and the heads and their judges and their officers, and they presented themselves to God. And here's what he did. The rest of the, I'm not going to read the rest of it, but I am going to tell you that what he said, it is time to put the kingdom of God on your shoulders and let it govern you so you can properly lead the children that I've given you. Oh. He goes on and he tells them in that chapter, the first part of that chapter, tells them about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, about Moses delivering them from Egypt, a cloud of darkness between them and the enemy. The Red Sea was split. He destroyed their enemies. He caused them to be alive in the wilderness. He provided bread from heaven. He provided meat from birds. He got water from a rock. He divided the Jordan so they could walk across in dry land. He defeated Jericho. He defeated all their enemies. He gave them houses and land. that he did not, that they did not build, and he gave them vineyards that they did not plant. God took care of what? Everything. And that's what he told them. That's what he told them in that first part of that chapter. Then he says this in Joshua 24, 14. Now that you've heard what I've had to say to you, now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. And put away, watch this, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river in Egypt, and in Egypt. And serve the Lord. What did he say? Serve the Lord. But he said, therefore, now listen, I just told you about everything that God's done. Now, fear the Lord with sincerity and truth, and put away the God. Put things away that draws your worship from him. What does that include? Anything and everything that draws your worship and your commitment to God, put it away. Get rid of it. What are you worshiping? What do you have more confidence in than you do God? What are you dependent upon? Well, listen, I hear this as well. We would get married, but I'll lose my insurance. You hear it? That's what he's talking about. Put it away. Put it away. Those are the hard things. God said, put it away. Put it away. See, of this generation, Gen Z, you know, there's only 4%, and actually some of them say 1%, only have a biblical worldview. 65% of them identify as being spiritual. 45% identifies themselves as a Christian. 65% say I'm a Christian, but only 45% say I'm a Christian. I'm spiritual, but I'm not a Christian. 75% believe there's not anything wrong with homosexuality. 80% believe in same-sex marriage. 25% believe that religion does more harm than good. 50% believe that religion is not important. And then we've got another generation, Alpha, coming up, that there's 51 million of them already. Do you hear the call? Do you hear the Spirit of God calling you? Calling me? My time is leaving quickly. Joseph goes on, he said, listen, you need to serve him and put away these things that are distracting you from being godly. He said, listen to this. He said, if this is disagreeable to you, listen to this. If this is disagreeable to you, in verse 15, in your sight, to serve the Lord, choose you this day. Choose you this day. He looks, he said, this is disagreeable to you. A choice is before you. You got a choice in front of you. Choose you this day yourselves whom you will serve. Whether it's going to be the gods of your fathers that is beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites whose land you're living in. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Notice it didn't say, but as for me and my wife, as for me and my spouse. No, he said, as me and my house. That includes the kids too. We're going to serve God. And we're going to let everybody in the family know we're going to serve God, and this is how we're going to do it. We're going to get off the stones, and we're going to look. So let me tell you, so one thing is telling about the Red Sea and all that. Then you need to have a stone that says, let me tell you what God brought me through. I lost everything. My health had failed. No money. No this, no that. In bondage to drugs, in bondage to alcohol, whatever, give them the testimony. That is your rock, that is your stone to be able to give to the generation that's going to say, let me tell you about the God of today, the God of my life, and the God of your life. But as he said that in verse 21, it said, verse 31, it said, and Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, and had known all the deeds of the Lord which he had done. Now, let me tell you, Judges is right next. Judges comes in, and then in the first chapter of Judges, chapter 1, you begin to see they begin to take the land. Because Joshua sent them out, go take the land now. We're here, so go get it. So you have to go oppose the enemy. You have to go take the land, go take the land, go take the land. See, here's what they're supposed to do. As they take the land, they get rid of all of the paganism as they take the land. But all in chapter 1, over 10 verses, and they failed to drive out the enemy. They took the land and they failed to drive out the enemy. And they failed to get rid of the opposition. They failed to get rid over and over and over. And they failed and they failed and they failed and they failed. They took the land and they was happy to get the land, but they failed to drive out the enemy. Why would I want you to think about that? Because in Judges chapter 2, here's what happens in Judges chapter 2. They did not drive them out completely from the land in Judges chapter 2, verse 10. And when they had died, there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done in Israel. What happened? Didn't drive it out, didn't get rid of it. Then what happened? The next generation rose up and didn't know God. Part two of four pages and I'm done. So what do we do about this? It's time for us. There's one passage over in Psalm 78. He said, we will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell them to the next generation about his glorious deeds of the Lord and about his power and his mighty works. That's what we got to do. So how are we going to do it? Joshua also says, choose you this day. After you choose, make a decision. It starts with parents. Choose you this day who your whole house is going to serve. As far as me and my house, we will what? Serve the Lord. Me and my house, me and my entire are going to serve the Lord. Then it says, put away everything that keeps you from serving God, that keeps you from worshiping God. Put it away. The next thing, bring them to remembrance. Listen, when the memory of God, when you fail to get them to remember God and his goodness, identity dies. Do you hear me? You fail to bring up God and what he's done and what God has done in the Bible and what God has done in your life, you begin to destroy the identity of the children. It will die. It'll go away. It'll be lost. Do you hear me? When your memory fails in this thing, your identity begins to go away. So that's the thing we need to do. And what is that? What else do we need to do, Pastor? We got 100 kids here. They need you. A lot of you are already serving in these capacities of nursery and elementary and youth. A lot of you are already doing that. But I'm telling you, we need more. We're going to have, as we go down, we're going to have sheets to sign up down at the Family Life Center. Think about what you've heard from the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And if God is moving on you to say, I want to help. Might not need to teach. I don't know. I just need to help. I want to help. Put your name down. That's how we can start saving generations. That's how we can start reaching out to generations. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word, and I thank you for your people. We ask you to bless the food as we go down. And we ask you, Lord, let us answer the call with passion. No drifting, but intentionality. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Pastor John, come on up.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's Word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.